Payoff.com is a paying sponsor of this Comic Book Club podcast. You've tried balance transfers and budgeting, but high interest rates and unrelenting bill cycles make it almost impossible to get out of credit card debt on your own. Instead of another new savings technique, you need a clear path out of debt. And that's what Payoff Loan can do. A payoff loan is a personal loan backed by member-centric credit unions designed to help you pay off your credit cards. With rates as low as 5.99% APR and loan amounts up to $35,000 with no hidden fees and personal customer service support from Payoff to help you reach your financial goals. Some of the benefits of a payoff loan may also include potential credit score boost, one monthly payment, and savings from lower interest rates. Go to payoff.com/comicbookclub to learn more. Checking loan rates won't affect your credit score. Try something new. Pay off your credit card debt with Payoff. NMLS ID number 1396805. Not all applicants may qualify. Loans only available within the United States. Loan is not available in all states. Payoff works with lending partners who originate the loans. Additional terms, conditions, and eligibility requirements may apply. More information is available at payoff.com/comicbookclub. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Love. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are coming to you live from the internet to the Wizards Podcast at home later. Thank you so much for listening. If you're watching on Crowdcast or YouTube, welcome as well. We're very excited to have you here. YouTube, drop your comments in the comments. Give us a like. Give us a little thumbs up, etc. We love that stuff. If you're watching on Crowdcast, we're going to answer your questions directly. There's a little thing that says, ask a question. You should just ask a question there. Just go and have fun. Just have a good time. Ask us questions about anything. Ask us questions maybe for our guests. I'll see if I'll check them. We have two great guests on the show tonight that I'm going to introduce in a moment. But how are you guys doing? How's everything going, Justin? Pete?
Great. I got an in. My wife cut my hair.
Yeah, you're looking sharp, bro.
Looking pretty good.
What's up, man?
It's nice. She did a good job. And now she has a vested interest in my hair all the time. She's like, oh, not. And she's always like checking it out. So slowly we're
she's
really
paying
connected.
More attention to
and
you.
Just
to
check,
like.
your shirt's red because of the blood for when she
yes,
cut you.
This is a white Hanes t-shirt, and I've just been slowly bleeding out.
Oh, I thought it was a blood gown.
It's a blood gown.
Yeah.
Danny Ollie over on YouTube says, looking sharp, Justin, looking sharp.
So thank you. I take that as a compliment, especially in this quarantine.
Yes, absolutely. Pete, how are you doing? How are you doing over here? We're going to, of course, talk about comics in a second, but I want to know how my friend...
I had a good week. I found out about a new Mountain Dew flavor called Frostbite. And yeah. If you...
Why are so many Mountain Dew flavors like diseases or
but
problems?
Think about this, though. Have you ever looked at windshield wiper fluid and thought, man, I wish I could drink that? Nah, you can. Mountain Dew Frostbite. Yeah.
I love how most people in this quarantine are like, I found some old noodles under the stove and I mixed it with a little grit from inside of my drain and that's all I got left. Pete's like, I had a great time here in Philadelphia getting new flavors of Mountain Dew, eating cheesesteaks all over the place. Woo. Just a good time.
And shouts to Mountain Dew for dropping a new poison flavor out on up in the world under quarantine.
It's got a big shark on
Trump.
It.
Trump was having Mountain Dew Frostbite, right?
The active ingredient is hydrochloroquine or whatever. Hydroxychloroquine.
Hey, Justin, you're my hydrochloroquine.
Oh, wow.
That's it. Yes, hydrochloroquine. I want to show something. In this quarantine, I was reached out to support an artist. I got the Color Proof from an issue of Green Lantern that I've talked about on the show a lot. The one where Kyle goes into the painting. I've definitely talked about the show. Am I showing that off at all?
The glare is rough.
Pete. It's fine. We can see it. It looks great.
No, I asked him to draw the glare in.
Oh, nice. Smart. Smart, bro.
It's very excited to have that. It's got, you can see the little painted edges on it. It's very cool.
That's awesome. Where are you going to put it up?
Nowhere where my family can see it. Probably down here in my basement. where I hide and record with you guys.
Ooh, your secret spot. All right, I think we should start getting into the show. We have two great guests for you. As I mentioned, I'm going to invite the first one into the stream. Later on in the show, we are going to have Susanna Polo here from editor of Polygon. We're going to be talking about the long Halloween during our stack section. But in the meantime, yeah, hopefully this is all working out. Hopefully he is getting in here. We're going to be introducing our first guest, Nate Lindley. He is one of the heads of Ashcan Comics Pub. We actually had some of his compatriots on a couple of weeks ago. We've been talking to a bunch of indie comics producers over the past couple of weeks as comics have been shut down. Good news, they're coming back. Comics are back.
Comics are back, baby.
But we're not going to stop talking about stuff. We'll see what happens. So I'm killing time a little bit here to see if Nate can get into the stream, see if there's any problems.
What are you drinking over there?
Me?
Gentlemen, yeah.
Oh, lads. Sure. While we're keeping time, I am actually drinking a Bronx Brewery Que Fuego.
Whoa.
That's very nice.
Pineapple, little hot sauce in it.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Mixing hot sauce and beer?
Yeah. I mean, I do that anyway. I get a nice Guinness, dump some Cholula in there.
Oh, wow, man.
That's great. I know. Wait, Cholula in your Guinness?
No, I actually have never done that before. I was pretty surprised. I got a variety pack, as I've been wont to do, and we'll see what happens. Nate is still accepted and connecting. We'll see what happens here.
Pete, what you got? What's your white wine? Get
in, said I got, timed out.
I got a nice Sauvignon Blanc, you know.
Nice. You know, little, I think that's how you say that.
Sure, yeah. I don't know how to say it, but I'm drinking it.
I'm drinking the Pete way. I've got a giant vodka soda. I made grapefruit vodka.
Ooh.
Used it, and then it's a grapefruit seltzer. Crushed.
Wow. You are killing it right now.
Mm, very good. Very tart.
I wish I could try some of that.
Yeah, gin and tonics, another good way to go. Everyone's moved on to hard alcohol in the comments section. That's what the state of the quarantine is, and I don't hate it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Nate is having some problems getting into the feed here. I'm going to just text him. This is cool.
You don't need to tell us every detail, Alex. We could just talk about something else.
You guys talk about something else. I'm going to take care of this thing with Nate.
Great. Cool.
Pete, what comics have you been reading outside of the ones that we read for the show? Have you been reading recreationally?
I wish. I can't wait to get back to that. I do miss reading the comics that I like that Zalbin doesn't kind of hand out to us as assignments. So,
that's not what they are.
What's that?
That's not, they're not assignments. It's just part of our fun. Part of our fun. Pete, comment. Will you braid your beard like some sort of dwarf?
Ah, well, you know. Thank you for putting in the short joke in that. I appreciate it.
I mean, it's not a short joke. It's just dwarf. Your beard is dwarfing. It's like
it's getting dwarven.
Mighty Dwarven Power Rangers.
Brandon Medina on YouTube says the longer, thicker beard works for Pete. Pete, I think I'm a beard fan.
Well, thank you.
I think it is working. But let me ask you, Pete, do you have a beard plan?
I don't. I've just always wanted to see what would happen. You know, sometimes you see people with beards and they like, they're, you know, it's an interesting look. So I always wondered what would happen almost Wahhabis with my beard. So I'm getting to know that. Like, it's not coming to a point, which
you're getting to know your body.
Yeah, it's just kind of going that way a little bit.
Are you going to grow a beard, Justin?
I am. This is it right here.
Hey! There it is.
Yeah, speaking of beards, what's up? I have a little trouble getting on. I have a really bad internet connection. I live in the middle of nowhere, so my bad. Cool. That is totally my fault.
No,
everybody that's
no
watching,
problem.
That is all me.
thanks so much for logging in. We're all figuring out this new world together. It's all good, Nate.
Very my excited water here doesn't work, so I don't know what I'm doing either.
He's in a basement, for God's sake. Pete is in some sort of mortuary. That's as far as I can tell.
How are the funerals, you?
So Nate, as part of my long-winded introduction, we were killing time a little bit. I mentioned that as comics are shut down, we've had a bunch of indie creators and producers and whatever on the show talking about their comics because things are still trucking along in the background, even if the major publishers were pretty much shut down for a while. To start off, what has the experience been like for you? What's it been like over at Ashcan Comics Pub?
Well, I mean, we operate on such a small scale. I mean, we don't have any books that are actually in stores. So for us, it's been business as usual. We ship everything out direct to customers. Okay. So, hopefully someday we'll be able to have our books in the stores, but you know, that's a really big commitment and something we have to really work on. So, but you know, we have been growing over the last year that we've been in business. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, it's great.
When we had one of your compatriots out a couple of weeks ago, it really seemed like it was a very tight-knit group of artists and writers and editors and everybody working together and helping each other out. Talk to us about your role in it. It's essentially steering that whole thing, right?
Steering the friendship.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. Ashcan Comics Pub, I started it when I just was putting together my first comic book, and I immediately was drawn to connecting with other people because I saw all these Kickstarters and these waves just, you know, coming out one after the other. And it's a lot of work. I mean, promotion and marketing is like so much bigger than just making the comic book. So immediately I was struggling a little bit with feeling discouraged. Now, here I was hyped about this first comic book I made, and then I'm like, wow, you know, I can't even get one person to read this thing. So I started reaching out to other people and just asking if they wanted to start working with me and, you know, if we could start promoting each other. That's really how it started out. And I'd say today, even though Ashcan Comics Pub is a publisher, more than anything, I think that we're more of a network. It's really an opportunity for other writers and artists to find ways to work together. And the really strange thing is, I mean, the name says Ashcan Comics Pub, but we immediately started switching over to doing prose. We started having like collaborations, like anthologies of little short stories that are like 3 pages long paired with an artist. Mm. And within 1 year, I'd worked with over 50 different people publishing work. And I was swamped. I mean, full time, I have kids, you know, all that stuff. And I was so thankful, and I kid you not, Ashcan Comics Pub would not be here if it was not for the people I've worked with. I mean, I can't lie and say that everything has been cotton candy. I mean, that's for sure. You know, there's been lots of rocky roads. There's been some people that it just didn't work out, you know, whatever. That's just how it goes. But yeah, there are some people in this group that have stepped up so much. Travis B. Hill stepped up and became an editor. I mean, I couldn't pay him. And he's like, I want to keep this going. So that was awesome. That took such amount of work off of me, you know? And then all nice. These guys that I'm working with, like, for instance, Stoney, who was on your show before, that was the writer. He and I are trying to go beyond this flash fiction thing. We're doing short stories now, and we're moving on to, like, chapter 3. Chapter 1 is currently being released, but there's all kinds of stuff that's in motion. There's Jay Sandlin, who's also working with Mad Cave, that's working with us, and several other people. I mean, we've had lots of people. I'm going to quit rambling, but I mean, that's what it is.
No, it's so nice to hear about that sort of just a network coming together and keeping it going, sort of keeping the ball in the air. Like, that's so hard, but also so rare these days in comics or in any part of creativity, really.
Yeah, well, I don't really know what 2021 is going to hold. I've actually kind of thrown out, you know, a couple tweets and stuff to people saying, hey, you know, I'm on the hunt looking for comic books. So hopefully there's some people on here that are watching and they're like, well, yeah, you know, I want to get my comic book out there. I mean, I can't really pay you a lot, but I'm going to give you a network and I'm going to try and promote you like crazy. That's what Ashcan does. And, you know, you have to understand I'm a one guy team. All right. So it's kind of a crazy idea that this one person is going to try and do this, but that's what it is. That's where we are right now. Hopefully it'll grow. And next time we meet, we'll be like 4 or 5 people on the team or whatever.
They'll be standing silently behind you. Can you tell us what an Ashcan is? I feel like that's something in comic book history that people don't really know much about anymore.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, traditionally, it's more of just a claim to a trademark. It's very rough. It's mostly just something that's thrown together so that the idea can be claimed. Later on, it started to become a little bit of a different term where it kind of turned into mini comic. And all these behind me are what that is. So the name Ashcan Comics, we're actually not producing with traditional Ashcan, but we're producing these mini comics, which are basically a half size sheet of paper folded in half. And the color, the covers are in color generally, unless it's Oath. That one's mine. I always do black and white. I just, my brain thinks in black and white when I'm drawing. So it's like, I just stick with that. And if I could throw color in there, it's awesome. But for whatever reason, I just love working with black and white. The contrast is awesome.
And that's cool.
Yeah. I'm curious to hear about a little bit more about the prose thing, whether that was, it sounds like that's something that happened pretty organically, but as you've continued with it, is it a creative thing? Is it a business thing? Have you found more success with the prose than the, you know, more traditional sense of comics? What's the thinking there?
Well, I'm definitely still looking for the business side of it all. When we find something that just totally grabs, and that's great. But really what happened was, is some other people that I was talking to just said, hey, let's try and throw this together. And I said, okay, if we can get, I think I said 10 or 12 people on board, I'll publish this anthology. And next thing I know, it was like one day it all came together. We started putting it together, and then we started having these different titles, and I gave a prompt for every title. So for instance, let's see right here, Mythos is an example. I said, this is the title, Mythos, and I gave just a very short, like one paragraph prompt, and the writers just went for it. And then they would be paired up with an artist, and I was very hands-off with that. The only thing I said was, let's keep it PG-13 so everyone's on the same page, because, you know, I don't want one guy that's doing PG-13 and I'm doing, like, adult-rated, and it'll all be mixed together. It'd be weird. So that was really all it was. And next thing I know, I had a prompt for all these different books. We had several different ones, and that was really what gelled everybody together. That's what really started to pull everyone together.
It's very creative and cool. It almost feels like an improv team where you ask for a suggestion, and then the performers all use that one suggestion and kind of hone everything through that.
Yeah, with all those creative talents, I mean, it didn't take more than a prompt. I mean, it's amazing how much indie talent is out there. I mean, people have so many cool ideas. I mean, I love all the mainstream stuff too, but I've been blown away by the amount of material that's out there with people that are just in the indie world.
That's awesome.
Now, the way that you have it set it off, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is just based on the links you've been sending me and Stoney sent us as well. It's all essentially behind a paywall on Indiegogo. Is that correct?
I did have an account on Indiegogo, but I haven't actually put anything on there. We have one project currently on Kickstarter. That's Vala. It was kind of cool. This has actually kind of turned into a story and art combo paired with now a game. I love all these things. Yeah. So it's pretty cool to be able to see all these come together. And just today I was designing a trading card and thinking about how we're going to take this into a trading card realm. I love making stuff. So, I mean, whatever it is, we're trying everything we can. But the main source of our budget comes from our Patreon account. That's where we have a digital library. And I think we have 29 books in there now. And then every month we put out two new titles, one in prose and one in comic book format. And I think this next month is Wired Man by Jay Sandlin, just to throw that out there.
If you were going to recommend some titles for people to start with Ashcan Comics Pub, what would you recommend?
Honestly, what I'd recommend, I mean, there's so many things that we've put out within 1 year. I mean, it's kind of crazy, an indie group, 29 books in 1 year.
It's
pretty awesome. I would just go to Patreon, throw $3 at it, look at all of our stuff. You get all of it for that $3. Take a look, see if you like it, stick around. If you don't, let me know, tell me what you want, and then we can try and work on that.
Oh, man, that's such a great sales pitch. Like that, like throw $3 in there, see what you like, and tell me what you like. Like, I think that's such a great strategy.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. And you, not to blow up our spot later on, but we do trivia later on in the show, you've been very kind to offer a Vala Comics Games Pack along with our regular prize for the trivia, which is pretty awesome. So what are people going to get in that?
Yeah, my pleasure. I'm sorry, what was the question?
What are people going to get in that? Yeah.
Well, let's see. Actually, I have one over here. Come prepared, right? Ooh. So I got the book, and with that, you get the... Sorry, I'm trying to operate here. The game card.
Awesome.
The instructions on the back. And if anybody played this in the 90s, they're going to love it because it's Pogs.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
But it's not just stack them and slam them. That's where the whole game card comes in handy. Different pogs deal different damage to the different sides. There's a dice roll element to it. And, of course, boom, got to get the slammer, right? Everybody.
Yeah, got to get the slammer.
And I don't have my stretch goal items yet, but that'll be involved, too. So there's a paper standee character and the trading card that I was just talking about. And a Yeah, I mean,
that's,
you got
a heck of a pack.
Kickstarter just keeps going, you know?
Yeah,
that's great. Thanks so much for joining that. And Nate, if people want to check out more about Ashcan Comics Pub, where should they go? Where do you want to send them?
Yeah, check out ashcancomicspub.com, and that'll give you a link to the Patreon, or if you want to go to the Kickstarter, you're welcome to do that, or follow us on Twitter. I mostly post there.
Okay. Awesome. Nate, thank you so much for coming on the show. Glad it all worked out tech-wise. Good seeing you. And
yeah, pleasure. Thank you, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Good luck, man.
Really appreciate it. Great seeing you.
All right. There we go. Nate Lindley, everybody.
So cool. So
check that out at Ashcan Comics Pub. They are great. I really enjoyed the things that we looked at back when we had Stoney on the show. Valo was really fun. And it looks like their other titles are fun as well. I'm going to vamp for a second here while we invite our next guest into the show.
The beauty of vamping is if you don't say you're vamping, you just like keep rolling into the fun.
Yeah. Vamp, 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 vamp,
nope.
Vamp, vamp.
That's again, that vamp. Is definitely not
going in a different direction.
It's almost vamping. Like it's hard to get it. Hey, hey.
Hey, guys.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm going to play a little music here because it's time for our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Part where we head dance.
Susanna, thanks so much for coming on the show. You are comics editor over at Polygon.
Yep.
Before we get into talking about the title you wanted to talk about, which I'm very excited to talk about, it's one of my favorite books ever. What has it been like being a comics editor right now when there are no comics coming out?
It's been pretty interesting, but I would say that I think it was certainly daunting at first. It's you know, I work in media and we're constantly terrified that we're about to lose our jobs. And when your beat dries up pretty hugely and very suddenly, you can get really worried about that. But I have great editors and the rest of the Polygon crew are really great. And we really framed it from a place of we're just going to find our own news. We're going to read cool comics. And by we, I mean me and some freelancers. We're going to read cool comics and we're going to find interesting, weird stuff. And, you know, I'm going to ask my coworkers who don't read comics, what are things that you want to know about comics? And I've started, you know, explaining weird comic book panels that have become memes on the site and reading weird old Silver Age comics and finding fun stuff in them. So it's been, and I think that is, I've learned stuff from there that I will be taking through now that comics are coming back to keep Polygon's comics coverage still interesting and edifying and fun and educational.
It's definitely something that we've talked about a little bit here on the show, and I'll just to blow up a spot, Pete has kind of fallen on the other side where he's like, no, bring back new comics, forget about this. But we've been doing the same thing. We've been talking about these graphic novels that we haven't read in years. And I've been finding a lot of joy in that, actually, going back and revisiting these things in a different way. Have you been finding the same thing?
Yeah, it was definitely like a kind of monkey paw situation where in January, I was like, man, I'm so tired of keeping up with the weekly comics grind. I wish I could have a week or two of a break. And then I hit week three with no new comic book day and was like, wait, I don't know when Wednesday is. This is really freaky. I don't like this. I miss comics. I haven't read as many of my bucket list comics because I've been trying to follow interesting ideas that I have. One of the ideas that I scrapped was I like the bureaucrat version of Mr. Bones, the very obscure DC Comics character, but I hear that in his original incarnation, he's very different. So I'm going to go read some of those comics. And I read Infinity Inc. for the first time. And it was a little weird. I'm not sure that I super liked it. And I wound up having to sort of pivot away from it because I sort of got to a point where I was like, this probably isn't going to become a post and I'm going to go do something else instead.
The Mr. Bones fandom is just crying.
I love him too. Once I found out about that he has this weird origin about being a T teen supervillain that nobody ever showed him love, and now he's somehow became a government bureaucrat. And that he's not a skeleton. He has invisible skin, which is amazing. Weird. I love that.
Wait, he currently has invisible skin, or was that?
Yeah. No, that's all the way back to the original. He has a cyanide touch. So if he touches you, he kills you. But he's not a skeleton man. All of his skin and flesh and organs, except for his eyeballs, are invisible, man. Which is how he can like smoke a cigar.
Yeah, how do they not explain that? Like, how do they not explain that every single time he appears in a comic? That's so needlessly complex. Also, his whole thing is he's like a sassy bad guy, sort of like bad good guy, sort of.
Yeah. Well, in his original incarnation, he spoke only in rhyme.
Oh my God!
Not because like he had to, because of Etrigan. It was like a thing that he, as a teenager, thought was like cool. It's like very lampshaded in the comic. That's that he's amazing. Just this weird nerd.
He wanted to live up to the demon, and then later on he turned out to be a smoking skeleton man. Classic DC Comics path. Let's talk about something that's actually a little more classic DC Comics. This is your pick. This is... Did I get it right? There we go. Batman, The Long Halloween.
Yeah.
This is a classic Batman graphic novel, comic book series by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. Susanna, tell us why you said this is your favorite Batman story of all time. Why is that? Why did this make such an impact on you?
I think it's one of the meatiest self-contained Batman graphic novels. Like one story, here it is. This is the thing. It's not part of continuity. And it has that Batman the Animated Series quality where it kind of intros you to all of the characters. I think Tim Sale's art is incredible.
Oh, yeah.
It's also got that Batman the Animated Series quality where all of the character designs are new and interesting, but also classic at the same time. And like his Poison Ivy is immortal. Like his Poison Ivy is just masochistic. Like, why would you draw all of those tiny leaves? I love the sort of like the amount of storytelling that goes into it, where it's this story, it's this Two-Face origin story, it's this really intense mystery, and it's also this sort of interesting meditation on a sort of pseudo-canonical idea of how Gotham City transitioned from a time before Batman to a time with Batman, where it picks up really directly off of Frank Miller's Batman Year One. It borrows a bunch of characters that are original to that story. It sets itself very specifically 6 months after the events of the end of that story. And it answers this question about like, what happened between Gotham City being ruled by these extremely powerful mafias to Gotham City crime being entirely characterized by costumed criminals? And says like, hey, there was actually like a bunch of conflict in there and a bunch of interesting interactions. But I think most of all, it's that for me, there are very few Batman stories that are whodunits.
Yeah.
You know, we call him a detective, and he's supposed to be the world's greatest detective, but the mystery stories aren't about who did it. They're about how did they do it, or when are they going to do it again?
That's so smart.
It's because it's the strength of his rogues gallery that like nobody, you always want to put in a character that people are familiar with because it gets more readers. And that even all the way up to the movies, like we see casting information for this, and it's never like, oh, well, we already know who the villain is. Like we know, and you know, even, you know, maybe like a little bit in Batman Begins with the bait and switch with Ken Watanabe as, you know, Ra's al Ghul. But generally we're not looking at a Batman story and asking who did it. And some of my favorite Batman stories, like I talked about this in one of the other books I suggested that we might do, is Alan Grant and Norm Breyfogle's Last Arkham, which is like the very first Mr. Zazz story, which is also like Batman thinks it's Mr. Zazz the whole time, but he doesn't know if it is, and he has to figure out what's going on. I love giving Long Halloween to people who haven't read it and then bothering them until they finish it and then asking them, so like, who did it? Who do you think did it? Did you solve the mystery? You know?
But I'm glad you added that part, because that's the heartbreaking thing to me, is when someone recommends a book, you give it to them And then you got to bring it up to them. And then it's like, hey, can I get my book back? When are you going to finish that? You know?
That was my main takeaway from this as well.
Exactly.
When am I going to get my book back? The thing that you brought up earlier on about this being a follow-up to Batman Year One, and in the collected edition, Jeff Loeb talks about that a little bit, where his editor at the time, Archie Goodwin, was like, hey, we're kind of thinking about this. I think you guys would be good for this, maybe like a noir something, something. And the idea of following up on Batman Year One is so ballsy in a way, but it lives up to it. And it feels like a great...
While also being distinct. It feels distinct.
Yeah, exactly.
In a good way.
Yeah. I'm curious to hear from you, Justin and Pete, revisiting this now, and I'm sure you've read this before, but what was your experience like? What struck you differently?
I was going to just say, I forgot how, as you mentioned, Rogue's Gallery it is. Like, I really forgot about all the cameos and all the stuff. And I also really like Catwoman in this, the kind of Batman trying to figure out what she's doing, why it's fun. And she is like both drawn very powerfully and very like elegant. And like also like to see Batman like watch somebody disappear and get frustrated at it is kind of fun. And also there was very sweet moments, very like honest moments in the part where like Batman put out the Thanksgiving dinner for Grundy. I was like, oh my God,
that's nice. So nice.
But like, and the art is just worth it. I mean, unbelievable art.
It's so cinematic.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say a lot of similar things to that, like the amount of sort of information in each issue and how each issue of the story is both furthering the plot and also sort of a nice, fun, standalone story with each of the different rogues.
Yeah.
Is great. The art is so cinematic. It feels like a Dick Tracy vibe, as well as like just a sort of 1950s movie. Some of those like wide double page spreads feel so like,
plus it's just picked apart for, ideas that I've seen in other stories and movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just so iconic.
Clearly a huge influence on the Dark Knight.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Right down to the phrase, whole money thing, Harvey Dent.
Joker. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Harvey Dent stuff is so good. And the way that like the story doesn't really say Harvey Dent's a monster so much. It's you sort of feel sympathy through him throughout. And the way it's like this town, what you were talking about, Susanna, the way that Gotham was this one way before, and then Batman showed up. And the mystery shows that like everyone is a little bit of a villain in the end. Like it's not just Harvey was bad, case closed. It's like a series of people did wrong. The Calendar Man stuff is so good. There's just so many elements threaded together here that
The idea to make Calendar Man the Hannibal Lecter of your Batman story
so good
is and speaking of just the characters, like there are characters that like I think get their due in this story or even are created for this story that like why did nobody run with Gilda Dent? Like after this, why did nobody run with Sofia Gigante, Carmine Falcone's massive hit woman daughter? Like,
oh my God.
So good. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so surprised rereading this that Holiday just any of those iterations never came back as much of anything, right? Are there any further stories?
So there's Dark Victory, which is also from Loeb and Sale, different colorist who I can't remember right now, which like, it's not like it doesn't quite reach the same heights. It's like it's the same flavor, so you still enjoy it. I just think Hangman isn't as much of a like it's not as enticing of a mystery as Holiday. And then there's a like sort of midquel to Dark Victory that is about, it's called Catwoman When in Rome, which is about her and the Riddler going on a trip to like to find her mother, I think, to find Carmine Falcone's estranged wife who's like in an Italian monastery secluded from the world, but also has a sequence where Catwoman steals something from the base of the Pietà in the Vatican, and it's great. But generally there's not like like, if there are stories out there that really pick up deliberately from The Long Halloween that aren't by Loeb and Sale, it's really subtle, like, you know, one issue hints that I can't think of right now.
I must have looked at that page where it's just that, like, goon in the tub before he gets shot. And the way he's just kind of looking out the side of his eye. It's just, I mean, so cool. The facial stuff in this is just really powerful.
Yeah, that page spread of Batman interrupting Catwoman breaking open the safe at the Falcone wedding has been my phone background since like 2003.
Wow! Like, whoa!
and then like when I was in high school, like my copy of it started falling apart, so I just cracked the spine open at that double page spread at the end, which is the first time you see Two-Face and he's ringed by all of the villains, including the Penguin, who hasn't shown up in the story at all yet. Yeah. I like cracked that, scanned it, and like, you know, very laboriously with no Photoshop skills at all, like cleaned it up and tried to make it my desktop background. It's just Loeb knows, has such a great, and you can see this in his work on like Batman, Superman and stuff, where he just knows when to call for a page spread. And when he has an artist that can take advantage of that, it's just this incredible, like he can just slap you in the face with an image like you would be slapped in the face watching a movie.
Yeah. It's funny thinking about making fun of Batman as a detective, that they were like, seems like this killer is killing on holidays. We should talk to the calendar guy. That's where holidays live, is on the calendar. And then it becomes a major part of the story.
The two things I was thinking about, and I think you guys have pretty much covered it, but the only thing visually that I hadn't noticed before, and I did go back to check, so I might have missed one thing or two, but I think the entire time Tim Sale, or I should probably look it up because I have it right here, whoever did the colors of the inks, keeps Harvey Dent shaded on one side of his face or profile to the camera the entire time until he is revealed as Two-Face, which is just such a smart, subtle little thing. Like, if you went to this and you had no idea who Two-Face was, it would be a shocker. But knowing what his destiny is the entire time, it's just such a good, simple visual thing to throw in there without being distracting. The other thing that I think Pete is going to get mad at me about, but reading this book, it felt to me like everything that Jeff Loeb does right here is kind of what I personally feel like he does wrong with Hush, I know you love Hush, but, and I haven't revisited it a while, so I might be wrong.
Talking about then?
Well, but my problem with Hush here, you have Joker, Poison Ivy, as we mentioned, all these villains come in, but they're there to serve a story purpose and things keep things moving. While Hush is very much like, here's the Catwoman issue, here's the Poison Ivy issue, here's the Joker issue. We're bringing in all the big villains. It's about this. Who is Hush? Who is Hush? Who is Hush? And it's not, it feels too blunt across the board, which is a lot of the things that he has done later on in his career. And I say this from the perspective of like, Jeff Loeb's been on our show. He's great. We love him.
Yeah, he's fucking super nice to you, man. Like, what the fuck?
But you know what? I'm going to tear him down a peg right now. That's not what I'm doing. I think it's interesting to go back and read this because you can see kind of like very similar skeleton to Hush, but here it's much subtler than it was there. That's all. It was just something that was bouncing around in my head as I was reading it.
Nothing's good enough for you.
But
I think,
wow.
One of my favorite things about Hush is Long Halloween is that it almost doesn't tell you who the real villain is.
Even
when there's like a two page at the end of a character confessing to the crime, it really does. It doesn't spoon feed you the solution at all. And often when I do give it to friends and I read it at the end, I go, so who do you think did it? They go, I loved it, but I have no idea who Holiday is. And the fact that you can go back and go through it and go, oh, I understand, really like sort of inspect it. And in a sort of like, you know, like classic mystery novel kind of way, pick up all the clues and go, oh, I get it. Like, you didn't spell it out for me, but you did have all of the evidence there. You did give me all the clues, Mr. Policeman.
I got to ask off of that. Yeah. Who do you think did it, Susanna?
So Harvey tells Batman and Commissioner Gordon at one point during the story that the key fact that they are missing is that there are two holidays. And they kind of dismiss it because they're like, oh, he's obsessed with the number two now. And like, right. he's unreliable. But there are two holidays. Alberto Falcone. So the first one is... For the original holiday is Gilda Dent, and her purpose in committing the murders was to destroy the Falcone and Maroni crime families so that Harvey would be spend less time at work and be in less danger and be at home, and they could have their beautiful married life. And she stops at Christmas, which is when the Joker kidnaps her. And Harvey visits her in the hospital after she gets rescued and promises her that he's going to work less and that things are going to be better now. And the next holiday murder after that is New Year's, which is when Alberto Falcone, when we think he dies. And we find out later that, you know, there's that scene where Harvey comes home and they're like, why is your hair wet? That was Harvey trying to take revenge on Alberto Falcone by killing someone that he loved. On Falcone, by killing someone he loved. But Alberto survived. So Harvey doesn't actually count as a holiday murder because he never actually killed anyone. And Alberto, who has always been told that he can't be part of the family legacy, that he's not good enough, that he's daddy's favorite and he has to be protected from everything, is like, fuck you guys. I'm going to start murdering people to show you what a freaking boss I am. And he starts committing holiday murders. And that's my solving of the long Halloween.
Yeah. No, that's good. The only other alternate theory I had in my head on the reread was that Alberto didn't kill anyone. And he was just trying to be a cool son. And then it was just the Dents at just trying to kill so they could spend time with each other in a real sociopath's marriage. Wow. And I don't think that's borne out with the actual story, but I just like the sweetness of that sociopath storyline.
Yeah. Pete, did you have the same take or did you have an alternate theory?
No. Yeah. I thought it was, the Dent and then the son there.
Did you fall asleep just for a second?
Just mid-sentence.
Okay. Right. He's focusing on the beard right now. It takes a lot to push that hair out of his face. He's like a Play-Doh fun factory for hair.
Yeah.
Look at him go.
This book is great. Susanna, thank you for suggesting it. I was so glad to revisit it again because I love that book. The one we didn't mention, there's Haunted Halloween, I think, is the... Halloween stories before that. So... I would almost say, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like read Long Halloween first and then branch outwards versus reading it in order. Would you agree to that?
I think Haunted, what is it? Haunted Night? Sorry, I can't remember the title that you just said. They're like sort of non-canonical stories and they're sort of like slightly disconnected and weirdly also like kind of like build on top of Batman Year One with a very like... it's a version of Commissioner Gordon, but anyway, I'm rambling. Yes, I agree with you. Because they're not like really part of the causality of the Long Halloween stories and their sequels. Yeah, just like throw it in there anytime.
Awesome. And plug some of your stuff. What should people check out? Where should they go and find you on the internet?
Find me on polygon.com. All of our comic stories are polygon.com/comics, but we cover a lot of stuff in, I think, pretty fun ways. So check out our front page too. And mostly I'm just on Twitter at nerdgirl. It's spelled weird. It's NERDGERHL. Cause when I made it, I thought it would make a really clever reference to a song from the V for Vendetta soundtrack. And that's like just way too nerdy. And now I have this, unspellable Twitter handle and can't get the one that's my actual name.
At JT Sizzle on Twitter, I know what it's like to not understand how important it is to write a handle that will serve you for the rest of your life.
Susanna, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
And it was a pleasure.
Have
a good night.
Thanks for
great talking
in.
To you.
Yeah.
All right. There we go. So good. That is it for the stack. Again, Long Halloween. Definitely pick it up.
Please do yourself a favor and pick that shit up if you haven't read it. And if it's been a while, go back because it is worth it.
Yeah. Now, one thing that I will mention, actually, the past couple of weeks, we have been talking about the couple of comics that have come out here on the live show. But as we mentioned, comics are finally back. So we are going to have a mega huge extra long stack podcast that's going to roll out Wednesday at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
That's where you find all the new reviews for DC, Marvel, Image, IDW, Boom Studios, and one other that I'm definitely forgetting. tons of books. So instead of that, we're going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. It's your audience question.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
All right. And for your audience questions, if you haven't done it already, if you're over on YouTube and you're watching, just drop something in the comments section there, and we will definitely go check that out. On Crowdcast, ask a question. I already see a ton of you have dropped stuff there. Let's see. Why don't we start off over here on Crowdcast? We got one from Pete's Punisher Slippers. Thoughts on a possible season 2 for Swamp Thing on CW, maybe shot in Vancouver, which has plenty of forests and wetlands nearby? What do you guys think? Swamp Thing, of course, was picked up by the CW, was licensed by the CW. They're doing a first season. Would you want to see a second season? Do you think there will be a second season? What's your take?
Boulder Swamp, like a sort of a steel, like a frost, a Mountain Dew frostbite thing.
I think that there was some good moments from the season one. If they can kind of get some momentum and kind of like make it better, I would recommend it. And so I don't know. I believe in it. I used to watch the shit out of the TV show way back in the day. So I always loved Swamp Thing.
And you love being in swamps as well and things.
Well, things, yes.
He loves things. Yeah. Maybe they'll bring back the old USA Swamp Thing series from the early 90s.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Now, I will mention, Pete, I know you hate when I bring up pertinent information about the things we're talking about, but yep. I was on the scheduling.
Put your flex back in your pocket, Alex.
Yeah, don't try to hide your flex behind the fucking facts, bro. All right. So, like, you're not really that interested in the thing. You're just, like, flexing about your shit that you do.
Alex, no, flex but the facts, I was, Albin.
Yeah.
But because I was super cool dude, I was on the CW scheduling call, and they did talk a little bit.
Yeah,
about,
dude. I was there. I wanted to be on that call. I'm dying to be there.
How's
I
love
scheduling
looking?
Calls. I was
Marky P, Mark Pedowitz, head of the network, having a great time.
Yeah, I brought a keg with the scheduling call, and man, everybody did keg stands.
Anyway, his answer about it when asked about Swamp Thing, whether the licensing deal potentially could lead to a season 2 for the series, was right now it's just a licensing deal. That's all they're doing. He's not going to say never, but it's not something they're looking at. Like, they're not trying to be like, test the waters, maybe we'll do a season 2. It really is just season 1 and done. Obviously, if it's a huge hit on the CW, they're potentially going to reevaluate because that's how things work.
When you have a hole in your boat, you just put a plug in it. You don't order a second plug right away.
I'm pretty sure you should, though. If you got one
interesting
plug,
CT Cook says Swamp Thing good, CW bad. I don't know if I agree.
Wow. Strong statement.
CT Cook. Ben the Border Collie, if you this is just, we're coming straight for Pete today. If you could be Mephisto for a day, whose marriage would you break up and why?
Nobody's. I would kill myself because that's some bullshit moves.
So given the option, you would kill yourself?
Yeah, because I would be Mephisto, the worst character of all time.
Wow. This sounds like, Pete, you've struck a deal with Mephisto and got burned by it.
Don't trust the devil.
Wait, so there's no marriage you would want to break up, Pete?
I
like mine.
Breaking up marriage is such a punk move. It's such a bullshit.
Here's the marriage I want to break up. The marriage between thinly sliced steak and cheese whiz that is a Philly cheesesteak.
How dare you, sir?
Get out of here with that thing.
First off, how dare
you? Get out of here with that.
What are you talking about?
Get out of here with that. Cheese whiz isn't cheese.
You can't break that bond. You can't.
I would
break
that marriage and hope that steak would start dating regular cheese instead of a whiz. Take your whiz.
Whiz.
Take your whiz and go.
Pete will never go for that. He'll always be
sucking on a cheesesteak.
Oh, there it is. There you
That's
go,
what
Joe
I was.
Crack. You fucking happy?
Thanks for the bullet. You have
fucking. Oh, so good. Boy.
No. Great question, nice. Dad.
Hope that was worth the money you paid for it.
Jay Sinistin points out that Pete and I are still Jedi married. So, Pete, you wouldn't want to break up our marriage?
I don't know. I mean, we're not really married. So, yeah, I don't want to
Jedi
break this
married.
Up.
On Disney Plus, we're married because that's all about Jedi.
Okay. Here's a question from James Miller over on YouTube. He says, is there any comic book or TV show you will give a second chance to while in quarantine?
Ooh.
Good question. A TV show you might
Great
get a second
question.
Chance to. I will say, while you guys are thinking about stuff, there's definitely shows that I've watched way more than I expected of. Mm-hmm. Just because we are here and it's nice to watch something that doesn't tax my brain quite as much. Snowpiercer just came out. Oh, I've God. Watched most of the season of that. It's not particularly good, but it's definitely the sort of thing where I'm like, I could half concentrate on this. That's fine. This is very silly.
You can put shows on in the background and act like that's watching them. It doesn't count.
It is technically watching them.
Yeah, it's technically watching them because if you ask me any question about any episode of Snowpiercer, I'll be able to answer it. Like, I'm just... Yeah. There are shows where I do need to actively watch. Like, I would never do that with, say, a Better Call Saul or anything like that.
Yeah, but Riverdale. You can't look
Riverdale,
away.
I watch those episodes 3 to 4 times because you really got to, like, split them down.
Yeah. Legion.
You got to pay attention to Legion.
Keep going. Keep going mentioning TV shows.
I'm just saying, those are shows that grab you and you can't, you know.
How many TV shows can you name, Pete, you think, in a row? 3?
I can name a bunch.
I have been getting back into the current Buffy series, oddly. Which is interesting. And it was surprising, not interesting. TV show wise, I think I'm going to rewatch. This isn't, I'm not giving it a second chance, but a full rewatch is Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
Now that that's on Netflix. Yeah. Whew. I'm going to watch that with the kids. I'm so excited. I've just been waiting for like, a chance to sit down and show them, and I'm scared that they're not going to be into it for some reason. But
I want to get my older daughter into it, and I think she's old enough to get it. I've been rewatching Gargoyles in the mornings with her, and she like I think she likes it, but I can't tell if she's humoring me. Keep in mind she's 4, so
that's amazing.
Here's the one warning. This is a super nerdy warning that I'll give you, though, about Avatar, just because I popped in and watched a little bit of one of the episodes today. They're in the original aspect ratio, which is fine, but however they got the version of it, like, it's very low quality. Like, I don't know
Netflix?
If it was the Netflix. Yeah, it's a low quality version of Avatar, which
that
is
seems
very weird.
We're very odd.
Yeah. I mean, it's still great. But I was very surprised today.
And shout out to Korra as well. Another great show, sort of somewhat sequel to Avatar. Definitely worth checking out.
Have you guys watched Hilda at all on Netflix?
No,
The show it's based on a comic.
Yeah, it's I want to say animated show. It's really very amazing. It's a lot of fun.
There's a raving comics. Lunatic in the comments who's going crazy for Hilda.
It's based on a comic you losers. Hey, Luana, wada, da, da. I just said that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's.
I've also been getting into the new season of Top Chef, which is something I haven't watched for many, many years.
Also, some things you shouldn't go back and watch. I tried to watch Thundercats again. Wow, that show does not make any sense.
The old Thundercats?
Like, yeah, the old Thundercats. Yeah. If you go back and watch, it's like the writers write themselves into a corner and then they have to invent a power that none of them have ever had before so they can kind of like get out of it. It's kind of really doesn't make sense as a show.
The plots to cereal commercials in the 90s make more sense than the plots to Thundercats episodes. There's a deeper mythology to Lucky Charms than Thundercats in those original series.
Yeah.
Here, let's move over to a question from Kevin. Says if the comic companies just skipped over the issues they were supposed to be released in April and May, making them lost issues, which would you be most upset to have missed and why? Also, whose turn is it to do a quiz now? Nat's? Kevin's?
Great question. Ooh, Kevin throwing his own name Kevin? Out there.
Yeah. How about that Kevin guy, huh?
Kevin?
I got to think a Kevin quiz might be impossible. Like, how hard would a Kevin quiz be?
Oh, I know. There's no way we could crack that.
I don't think
I love the idea of someone giving us a quiz. Like, yeah, we would be the three contestants.
Maybe we unlock it with something we say.
We would be the three contestants.
Ooh.
Like Jeopardy.
I just want to, this is not apropos of the question, but Jason isn't here in the comments says, I kind of gave up on She-Ra when it became about everyone other than She-Ra. It's great. I watched the wrap up this past week and it's so good. Definitely check it out.
But, I can't wait for the new episodes that just came out. I'm looking forward to watching those.
Oh yeah. They're so good. Instead you're watching terrible episodes of Thundercats or whatever you're doing.
Hey, fuck you. All right. Ooh,
really lingered on that F, Pete.
Yeah.
Let's answer the question, though, about what comic series would we feel super upset about missing out on?
Batman.
Tom King's Batman, I think. Another Strange Adventures, also by Tom King. Jumped to mind right away.
I feel like we say this all the time, but the X-Men books. Like, if we miss the X-Men books.
Oh, fuck you.
No, particularly the
Jonathan Hickman stuff. I would love to hit snooze on that whole thing, wake up 3 years from now and fucking tell me what's going on.
What if you cut like 3 issues ahead and suddenly Cyclops and Wolverine are like, well, we've skipped past. We're not with Emma and Jean anymore. It's just the two of us.
What if there was a Sleeping Beauty situation, Pete, where you pricked your finger on something and fell asleep and only the kiss from an issue of X-Men would wake you? Would you think that Alex and I would have to battle our way through the thorns to bring you that issue and rise you? Sleeping Petey, as I'm calling it.
Oh, man. I appreciate the effort you would have to go through.
Yeah.
Just so you know,
when I woke up, I'd be super angry.
Just like every day, right?
Question from Eduardo Martinez. Do you guys have any favorite stories that highlight or explore New York City as a setting in comics? New York as a setting in comics.
Go ahead, Pete.
You go.
Luke Cage does a great job of repping Harlem in its comics. They do a great job of like getting some of the big landmarks in there as well. And what I really liked about the TV show is they also stayed true to that as well. That's the first thing that comes to my mind.
The one thing that comes to mind is DMZ, series. Yeah. Definitely, like, even though it's like a post-apocalyptic situation.
Yeah, I don't want to read that now.
Yeah. But another one, the New York 4, you remember that series? That I feel like had a lot of, felt like landmarks in Brooklyn and stuff that I have been around.
I mean, I'd also point to right over my head, right over here, Box Office Poison is a great one because it's mostly set downtown, particularly like, I guess in the 90s, early 2000s, something like that. Alex Robinson drew stuff in New York. So if you're looking for something that's very New York, that's good. Also, Palmer Eldrick says Watchmen. That's a good one. Got Madison Square Garden right there. That's prominently featured.
Sad.
A little sad. There we go.
I mean, Daredevil sometimes had little things in there, but not a lot.
Question here from Stray Bullet. I got my $25 gift card to Midtown Comics. What should I buy?
Ooh.
Well,
that's tough.
Yeah, I mean, where are you at with things? You know, I would just say like Long Halloween is worth it if you don't have that in your collection.
Oh, what a great idea!
Well, I'm just saying that. Like, I don't know
Long Halloween.
What's that?
I'd say Long Halloween.
Oh, weird. But I guess
I'd pick Long Halloween.
I mean, you know, like, what don't you have? Like, do you have a copy of Watchmen? Do you have
Straight Bullet? Sorry, just to interrupt you, Pete. Straight Bullet, you're here in the comments on Crowdcast. Could you list your entire collection of comics and then we'll fill it out with what you
have? Then we'll fill in the gaps.
I love the idea of saying, hey, I'm going to the grocery store. What should I get? And Pete being like, well, what don't you have? How are you on butter? If you don't have butter, I would get butter.
I mean, you know, do you have all of Why the Last Man? If not, what are you doing?
I just to throw one out at you, actually, because I'm just looking at my bookcase behind me now. But right over here, over my head, is Asterios Polyp.
Ooh, Asterios Polyp,
which is a great book that
it's
I feel
blurry.
Like
we can't read what fucking comics.
I love your pointing out the topography of your little shelf. Oh, nice. I love the great book. Not a lot of Wolverine style fighting, but a great comic nonetheless. Go ahead.
No, all I was going to say is it's funny about Asterios Polyp that I feel like when it came out, it was everybody was talking about that. That was the biggest comic. It was like, this is going to revolutionize comics. And I feel like I don't see a lot about it anymore. So to me, that's one that I think could do with a little bit of revisiting.
Let me throw out Fear Agent. If you don't have that, that's a good, and you're a Rick Remender fan, that's some very early on Rick Remender that is fantastic. And level of cynicism is appropriate for our current lifestyle.
Yeah. Before we move back to Crowdcast here, I just want to mention that Bandito740 over on YouTube says it's time for the secret YouTube comment section quiz to shine.
I love that.
We should figure out something for that.
Yeah, we should.
See what happens. We'll talk about it. We'll see what happens next week. All right, this is from Jay Sinison. Hot breaking news. So that Batwoman news that just broke. This is, I'll give you a rundown. Pete, I told you about this before we went live, but this is pretty surprising. Ruby Rose is not coming back as Batwoman in Batwoman season 2. This broke literally right before the show. They are going to be recasting the role and are going to be doing a second season of Batwoman, which should ostensibly premiere in January 2021. I was stunned. Again, Pete, don't get mad at me. I'm just offering up your information. But for my day job, I did an interview with the showrunner for the finale that just aired. And she was like, we were talking a little bit about what she learned about Ruby Rose and Ruby Rose being funny on set and getting better over the course of the season. So it's entirely possible stuff was happening in the background then, but there was no indication from talking to her about that. The only news that's come out, unless something addition has happened during the show while we've been talking about other things, is that it was Ruby Rose's choice. She wanted to leave the show. She said it was a hard decision, but it was a decision she had to make. I'm sure there's a lot more there, but it doesn't seem like, at least on the surface, that it was acrimony on the set. She wasn't fired or anything like that.
Well, did certainly she have any injuries? Was she like...
She had a huge injury on set where she... I don't know what it was, but something happened to two discs in her vertebrae.
Yeah, and her back, right? Yeah,
her back.
I'd be like, after a whole season of that, maybe it's just like, you know what? You know, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's would be my best guess of what it comes down to is that being the lead on any show, let alone a superhero show, sounds insane. Like you have to be the boss of the set, like in a different way than the showrunner is. You have to be like, I'm the one that keeps everybody going all the time. And coming in on an action show that destroys your body, even if you're like, yes, this is great for my career, that just means different things. But it's still shocking. Are you, what do you think is going to happen? Are you looking forward to a second season without Ruby Rose?
I mean, it's tough. I'm very excited for more Batwoman. I felt like they did an amazing job with her in the first season. A lot of great moments. She killed it. I was really impressed with what she brought to the role. I'll be interested to see like if they just go completely different so there's no like mistaking them, or if they're going to try to get someone similar and act like nothing happened. It'll be interesting, you know.
I don't think they'll be able to pull that up. I mean, it's a popular enough show that I think they'll find another person and make smart choices about replacing. replacing.
Yeah, and I do think, frankly, like, nothing against Ruby Rose, but Batwoman is bigger than Ruby Rose. Like, I don't think people are like, I need to check out the Ruby Rose show. I'm sure some of her fans were, but that's not what it was thought of as. So I think it'll keep going. Yeah. Just a little clarification over here on YouTube. Alum 918 says neck injury and she returned to work right afterwards. Okay. So there you go. We've got a heated question over here from the Wana Nana Nana. That she demanded to get answered immediately over here on Crowdcast. This seems to be a question for Pete. Pete, how do I get this joint to stop burning so fast?
Wow.
You got to lick it, babe. You got to lick it. So it doesn't burn so fast. Come on. You know,
this is good content right here. Yeah. This is some real behind the scenes, upstairs, downstairs stuff. Yeah, and I love it.
Some upstairs, downstairs stuff. Funny part was I started smelling it. I was like, oh, that's no fair.
I could just see her running around back and forth like an anime character with a flaming joint in her hand.
Blood pouring out of her nose. Just yeah. All right, this is from Joe Crack. Which was more upsetting, Peter and MJ not being married or Lois and Clark not being married? I'm going to say just straight up Lois and Clark. Like, I'm not a huge fan of marriage in comic books just because I think, like...
Interesting.
No, but, like, I agree.
I just want my characters to be single and have freedom.
Because I want to watch them fuck. Oh my god. Yeah, that's actually what it is about. You're a joking asshole, but you're a fucking weirdly perverted motherfucker. Like,
I agree with the sense of why they broke up Peter and MJ. Like, it opens up storytelling possibilities.
Fuck you. That's such a bullshit excuse.
Lois, Superman and Lois, that's a thing. Like, that's not...
That's Peter and MJ, asshole. It's the same thing.
No, but it's not the same thing at all. Like, Superman and Lois is better together. Peter and MJ dating is better than Peter and MJ married.
That's bullshit.
Well,
it's a fucking bullshit answer.
I don't know. I mean, to me, it's like, if you, the whole point of getting their marriage broken up by the devil was to have them be like, and then they're immediately sort of, now they're dating again. And when Peter was single, like, there were no stories about him dating. He barely dated that whole
time. They did a couple, but they were bullshit and they sucked.
Well, but what I'm saying is, like, the difference, for all intents and purposes, the difference between them dating and being married is very little to me from a storytelling perspective. So, like, I don't get what the whole point is. Either make them hard single and it's about, like, new relationships or maybe longing for MJ or something. But now it's just neither one to me is really any different. I agree with you, Alex. Of the two of them, I think Lois and Clark being married make more sense.
I mean, I like the idea of Lois and Clark very much. There are an iconic couple. But to me, Peter Parker and MJ are an iconic couple in a different way of, like, Peter Parker is this scrappy dude who's just hanging in. He is barely making things happen. But the fact that he can also keep a marriage alive is really impressive for a character. And I think gives hope to people who struggle with shit. So, like, taking that away for no fucking bold reason and then fucking not really pay it off, it's just upsetting. It's a powerful move to keep them together, and they're fucking around by still not fucking doing it.
So you're a huge fan of Spider-Man Renew Your Vows.
Stop pushing that agenda.
That's where they are married.
You know what the agenda is? Like, it is crazy that you don't read that book or didn't read that book, because that literally was
your
Peter
dream.
Parker and Mary Jane married. They have a kid. And you were like, I don't read that. I'm just mad about the main book. Which
Because it's a side fucking book. That's why.
Maybe you just like to be mad, Pete.
You're just too into their marriage. Get out of their marriage, Pete.
No way.
You live your own life. No, Pete, you have a joint that's burning down the place you're in right now. Get out of their marriage. You're too focused.
All right, over here we got a question from Comic Book Poser. As we transition back to shopping at a local comic shop versus all the online shopping, what is the best way to persuade, your local comic shop to pick up more independent publishers? The absolute simplest way to do that is order them. Which I know sounds ridiculous, but like, say, these are books that I want. Pick them up, order them for me on a regular basis. If your question is like, order independent publishers that you could try because you're not sure what to try, I think it's the same sort of thing, but it's just tell them, hey, I want to buy more indie comics. I will plunk down my money in some way, and then allows them to buy it.
Yeah, show, don't just tell. Just don't say, hey, I'm going to be like, hey, you know, here, I'm going to spend some money in this place to let you know I want to come back and spend more money. Fucking, you know, help me help you.
Right. It's like not just saying I want Peter and MJ to be married. It's buying the book where Peter and MJ are married. Right, Pete?
I went to Cornell. I'm so fucking smart.
Thank you. Thank you for finally admitting it.
Oh, man. Shit. I just feel like sucking on a cheesesteak. You know what I'm talking about, guys?
Sucking on a cheesesteak.
Oh, yeah, boy. There it is. Ooh, my man. That should be a huge red bar underneath your phone, Alex. Massive. Almost a button so big it's hard not to push it.
We got a question here from Shrushti. Which comic book TV show, hour maybe, do you guys wish you had started a podcast on but didn't?
Ooh, definitely great. Arrow.
No, we don't have time for that.
We don't have time for that level of podcasting.
I got to tell you,
Legion.
We did a podcast.
We did a Legion podcast.
I'm sorry. League. What is it? The one the that's league? Really. What?
The League. The League.
No,
A League of Their Own. The movie A League of Their Own.
No, the one where it's a bunch of
Legends of Tomorrow.
Thank you.
I will say the one that I do actually think about sometimes that I'm bummed that we didn't do a podcast for, but I think it was probably like too early for it, and I don't even think we would have thought of it, but Walking Dead. That's one that talked about. Like, I think I got a screener of the first show and we watched it early and talked about it live on the show. Like, I remember that very distinctly, like breaking the whole thing down on the live show, but it's not recorded because it was pre-podcast times for us. And sometimes I'm like, oh man, that would have been good if we had done that. But
though we would be fully insane at this point.
Yes.
More than we actually are. Yeah. Sort of in line with that, like the original Flash, not the original, but the CW Flash, I feel like.
Yeah, that would have been tough, though, because after season one, it got weird, and then... But not like other shows that last season, it came back, so...
Joe Crack says, CW superhero shows don't send screeners right, hence what it was difficult to do those shows as a podcast. It's just not... It's not consistent. They do sometimes, but, like... it doesn't always happen, and we try to be on it as much as possible. For example, check out Star Guys, our new Star Girl podcast that is distributing 2 episodes a week. We're doing Monday tied to the DC Universe airing, and then we're doing a bonus podcast that gives you your time back, gives you your 10 minutes back that you're missing from the CW broadcast. That's going up Tuesdays right now.
We got your back.
We're taking time back. We're taking your time back.
Yeah. So there you go.
Also, The Boys, I think, is another good answer from Ben the Border Collie.
Not to talk about this live on the show, I know Pete's answer is going to be no because he never wants to do any podcasts ever, but would we ever go back and do a show as a podcast?
Yeah, why not?
If we did Arrow, that'd be great.
No, we don't have time. Sorry.
Wow, yeah, I don't have time for that. Wow, Kevin with a deep cut, Nightman. Yes, I remember. As a huge fan of the Ultraverse, when they had a Nightman series, I was like, awesome. And I was like, whoa, this is a softcore pornography show almost.
Sorry, just another quick thing about Stargirl, but Mike Beneke says an article said that extra time ends after episode 2 of Stargirl. That's kind of true. The first 2 episodes are 50 minutes versus the 42 minutes on the CW. I think I'm forgetting exactly the numbers, but at least 5, 7, and 11 are longer episodes that they had to cut down as well. So some of them are going to be pretty close to the CW time, but some of them will be longer. Regardless, we're going to release a bonus podcast for the CW airing, so you'll be getting 2 podcasts a week. So there you go. All right, we got a couple of more quick questions here. Denny Ollie said, what about The Boys? CT Cook says, 80s Hulk TV show.
That would be sick with Lou Ferrigno. Oh, man.
We should do it with Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah.
Architectural foam panels and columns says 90s Flash podcast would be cool. I'll tell you what. I went back when DC Universe first launched and I watched the first episode of the Flash TV show with John Wesley Shipp. That holds up.
I absolutely loved that show when I was a kid. That show is legit.
You know, I was 100% prepared for it to be trash and hate it like you were talking about Thundercats. It's good.
I would like to maybe go back and do the X-Men animated series and do a podcast about that.
Ooh, lots to get into there.
Yeah, I like this idea. Now that Riverdale's over for a while, now that Katie Keene's over for a while, now that we just got the Star Guys podcast going, maybe we'll talk about something.
We got space in the sketch, lads. Let's open it up. We got to do that Mantis podcast that we've been wanting to do.
Another one from Comic Book Poser. F you for getting me addicted to Riverdale. Not a question. Just had to put it out there.
No problem. Truth. Join the club. We're all super addicted.
What's one title that's coming out tomorrow that you haven't read that I should avoid picking up? Like something that we didn't read or something we did read
and
you'll just have to turn into the Stack podcast to check that out.
That's what we're actually
I don't think we're reviewing absolutely everything, but we're reviewing pretty much every title that's coming
a lot time. Yeah.
It's very long. Last one we have here from Joe Crack again. Why do you think Hollywood doesn't have their own version of James Bond where you just recast the character after so many movies versus studios like DC that just keep rebooting the franchises as a whole?
Interesting.
I feel like that's Batman. Like, it's kind of a rebooted franchise, but it's
I disagree because the thing about the Bond movies is the aesthetic is always the same. The filmmaking changes a little bit, but the vibe is the same. And the whole thing with Batman is like, now it's this. Now it's like, it's sort of campy. Now it's nipples. Now it's very austere, intense, complex filmmaking. And then whatever this raw steak tartare Batman we're getting will be interesting coming down the line. But I would appreciate that. Like, who's the new Batman? And every 2 years we get a new Batman movie where it's a continuation as opposed to here's my take. Because here's my take is going to bound to have stuff that's like, I don't know about this.
Yeah, and I'm sick of, popular characters getting origin stories over and over again. You're like, Jesus Christ, yeah.
But are the pearls going to fall? That's what I want to know. Are they going to see a movie and then go in an alley? Is there a guy there? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
I got to know.
What's another thing besides pearls? Like maybe little seashells or puka, maybe a puka. She's wearing a puka shell necklace.
Yeah, or boba. It's like boba.
Or it's a candy necklace.
Oh, yeah.
A candy necklace. Smart. Just a candy falling.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Or a lei. It's just like, whoa, where is she? Yeah. She's so fun. She came from a luau. Yeah. And then it's.
These are all amazing, great ideas. And that is it for your audience questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now it is time for trivia. And for that, I'm going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
A first hand up guy.
We got a hand up right out of the gate. Strong choice. Very epic. You got to ride the music wave.
Yep. Beer Cat PhD is the first hand up.
Yeah. Invited her into the stream.
Yeah. Hey! Welcome.
Oops. How's it going? All right.
Can you hear us? Well.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yes.
Oh, yay! Hey, all right.
There we go.
All right, Pete's going to take it away for a second. I'll just mention you're playing for a $25 Mifftown gift card and a gift pack from Ash.
Ashcan
Pub.
Ashcan Comics Pub. Thank you very much.
You're playing for a pile of ashes of something we're gonna, of Pete's joint that he's burning in his house right now.
Oh, boy.
The greatest prize.
All right. So today's trivia is on topical comic news. I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right. $25 and the gift pack will be yours.
Seems fair.
Here we go. Question number one. What is the next big X-Men event? Is it A, X of Swords, pronounced Ten of Swords, creation number one? B, Fuck Island, pronounced What the Fuck is Happening to the Damn X-Men Island number one? Or is it C, Margaret Witten? So it's either A, or you could pick B, or definitely don't pick C.
I'm tempted by B, but I'm going to go with A.
A is correct.
You know, Pete, for someone who doesn't like X-Men, you're often talking about them in your topical comic news.
Huh, weird. Okay, here we go. Question number two. What is the title of Sean Murphy's new creator-owned comic? Is it A, The Plot Holes, B, The Potholes, someone said pot, or C, M. Emmett Walsh? So it's either A, which is the only one that makes sense, or you could be wrong.
I'm going to go with A.
A is correct.
Wow, really shaking up the pattern.
Yeah, you like that? You like that? Take that, comments, you motherfuckers.
Take that, comment. Yeah.
What's up? You got comments now? All right, here we go. Last one. Sam Humphries announced issue number 75 will be the last issue of blank. Is it A, Harley Quinn, B, Catwoman, or C, Kirk Cameron? So it's going to be A, Harley Quinn, or you could go B.
A's across the board.
A's across the board
wins
it.
Triple A's.
Wow.
Wow.
Congratulations. You have won all the prizes we mentioned. Just shoot us an email at comicbookclublive@gmail.com with your name and your address, and we will shoot you all of that stuff.
And Beercat, as a fan of what we're drinking, what are you drinking?
Yeah.
Tonight, a Mezcal Mule at first, and then I switched over to a Scofflaw Brewing Dirty Beaches.
Ooh. Talk about nice. Topical drink. Great choices.
Yeah. Stay on brand.
Right. Have a great night. Thanks
for coming in. Great job.
Thanks for listening.
Wow, that's great. Now, Pete, did you have a secret Robin Williams movie in your third answers there?
Yes. And the people write in the comic book, it is The Best of Times. The comments.
The Best of Times.
Best of Times, of course. A very popular film that we all know about.
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime right now. You can watch it. It's got Kurt Russell in there.
Folks, I think that's pretty much it. You know what we're going to have to get back to doing, guys, that just occurred to me, is we're going to have to talk about what we're looking forward to tomorrow, because comics are actually starting to come back.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
I'm not going to put you on the spot right now. We'll do that next week, because we're usually all so prepared for that.
We could come up with it, I bet.
Yeah? All right, Pete? What are you looking forward to, Justin?
Pete, what do you think? Okay. Oh, you want to put me on the spot first? That's no problem. I'm quick on my feet. I'm light on my feet. I'm nimble like a dancer. I'm, of course, looking forward to Birthright number 43.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite series.
Oh, yeah,
that is just coming up on the epic finale of the main storyline. Cannot wait to get into it. I've described this series truly so many times on this show, but it's about a kid who gets separated from his family, drawn into a fantastical world where he is the one hero. He grows up to be this great warrior, and then he comes back to Earth, and there's a twist that I won't say, even though I've said it many, many times.
Yes. Pete, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
There's a lot of great stuff coming out here, and I'm going to have to go with Deadly Class. I was really impressed with.
You will be impressed with it.
Yes.
You haven't read it yet because it's coming out tomorrow.
Right.
Tomorrow is when that comes out.
Right. So, like I said, Deadly Class number 44. I'm excited to see what happens. I think it's been great. Also, the Year of the Villain is also supposed to be really good. That comes out tomorrow as well.
Yes, that's actually a reprint. But it is a good issue.
Still good.
Dollhouse Family number 6 for me from DC Comics from the Hill House line. This comic is so messed up. It's by M.R. Carey and art by Peter Gross. And it's just a very weird, gothic, Lovecraftian, over-the-top terror story from the Hill House line. And it's great. Just check it out if you want an adults-only horror read, because that's definitely what it is. But it's
adults-only.
Adults-only. Red light, buddy. All right. I think we're going to wrap up here, folks. That's the show. First of all, I want to thank our guests on this show, Nate Lindley from Afghan Comics Pub. Also, Susanna Polo from Polygon for talking about the Long Halloween. Thank you both for coming on. If you want to support our podcast, patreon.com/comicbookclub. You can get plenty of fun bonuses support there. Also, next week's guest on the show, I want to plug, tying into Brick, right? Sure you can talk to him about that. Joshua Williamson is going to be on the show.
Yeah, he's cannot wait to chat with him.
Nailbiter Returns, which I'm very excited about. One of our favorite books is coming back. Also, maybe the end of The Flash a little bit. We'll chat about that as well as some lots of things to discuss. iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe and listen to the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter, Comic Book Club on Facebook, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast, and many more. And folks, we will see you next week on Crowdcast on YouTube. Tuesday, 7 p.m. Totally free. Tell your friends.
Thanks, everybody.
They sit on crappy couches and they let the secrets leak. And accusation of the veil at that special destiny. So grab your written tailor. Don't be late for it, girls. Their girlfriends can barely tolerate it.
Gotta go, gotta laugh.